3 meet. Perfect. Please rename yourself if you wish to remain anonymous. To change the name displayed in your video box, click on the 3 dots in the upper right-hand corner of your video box and click on Rename. We encourage you to use your first name and last initial and where you're from. The chat box will be open if you have technical issues. Participants will only be allowed to chat with the hosts. To avoid crosstalk, all chat between participants is closed. If you're moving about or eating, please turn off your video to avoid distracting others. And lastly, please take an opportunity to check out all the information available at these sites. These sites will also be displayed on the screen during break. So if we move to the next slide too quickly for you now, remember that you will see them again during the break. So let's start the program. I have asked Lisa B. to read the CODA preamble. Lisa, please unmute yourself.
Thanks, Tammy. I'm Lisa, I'm codependent. Preamble of Codependents Anonymous. Codependents Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women whose common purpose is to develop healthy relationships. The only requirement for membership is the desire for healthy and loving relationships. We gather together to support and share with each other in a journey of self-discovery, learning to love the self. Living the program allows each of us to become increasingly honest with ourselves about our personal histories and our own codependent behaviors. We rely upon the 12 steps and 12 traditions for knowledge and wisdom. These are the principles of our program and guides to developing honest and fulfilling relationships with ourselves and others. In CODA, we each learn to build a bridge to a higher power of our own understanding, and we allow others the same privilege. This renewal process is a gift of healing for us. By actively working the program of Codependents Anonymous, we can each realize a new joy, acceptance, and serenity in our lives.
Thank you, Lisa. I have asked Georgia to read the welcome of Codependents Anonymous. Georgia, please unmute yourself.
I'm Georgia, codependent. We welcome you to Codependents Anonymous, a program of recovery from codependence, where each of us may share our experience, strength, and hope in our efforts to find freedom where there has been bondage, and peace where there has been turmoil in our relationships with others and ourselves. Most of us have been searching for ways to overcome the dilemmas of the conflicts in our relationships and our childhoods. Many of us were raised in families where addictions existed. Some of us were not. In either case, we have found in each of our lives that codependence is a most deeply rooted compulsive behavior, and that it is born out of our sometimes moderately, sometimes extremely dysfunctional families and other systems. We have each experienced in our own ways the painful trauma of the emptiness of our childhood and relationships throughout our lives. We attempted to use others, our mates, friends, and even our children as our sole source of identity, value, and well-being, and as a way of trying to restore within us the emotional losses of our childhoods. Our histories may include other powerful addictions, which at times we have used to cope with our codependence. We have all learned to survive life, but in CODA we are learning to live life. Through applying the 12 steps and principles found in CODA to our daily life and relationships, both present and past, we can experience a new freedom from our self-defeating lifestyles. It is an individual growth process. Each of us is growing at our own pace and will continue to do so as we remain open to God's will for us on a daily basis. Our sharing is our way of identification and helps us to free the emotional bonds of our past and the compulsive control of our present. No matter how traumatic your past or despairing your present may seem, there is hope for a new day in the program of Codependence Anonymous. No longer do you need to rely on others as a power greater than yourself. May you instead find here a new strength within to be that which God intended, precious and free.
Thank you, Georgia. I have asked Emmy to read the 12 steps. Emmy, please unmute yourself.
Hi, friends. My name is Emmy. I'm a codependent. The 12 steps of Codependence Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over others, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other codependents and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Emmy. I have asked Linny to read Codependence Anonymous 12 Traditions. Linny, please unmute yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Linny, and I'm a gratefully recovering codependent. The 12 Traditions of Codependence Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon CODA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving higher power as expressed to our group, conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership in CODA is a desire for healthy and loving relationships. Four, each group should remain autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or CODA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to other codependents who still suffer. Six, a CODA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the CODA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Seven, a CODA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Codependence Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, CODA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, CODA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the CODA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Linny. And thank you again to all those who have read our foundational documents, the preamble, the welcome, the 12 steps, and the 12 traditions. Please welcome our presenter for this workshop, Heidi from Phoenix. She has given us a previous wonderful self-parenting workshop. And for those who have attended the last one, this will not be a repeat of that workshop. This workshop will be very interactive. So grab pencil and paper and get ready to step onto the grand staircase of self-parenting through the 12 steps. by Heidi from Phoenix.
Nice, Tammy. Read that again. That was beautiful.
Oh, I'll give you a copy of it.
Okay. Oh, so poetic. Thank you. What a great introduction. I'm Heidi. I'm codependent. And grateful to be here, grateful to be asked to share my experience, strength, and hope around self-parenting again. And, you know, I prayed about what to do in this workshop, and what kept coming to me is just the benefit of actually doing the work, and that, you know, I can talk about it all day long and tell you how great the steps are and what they've done for me and why you should do them. And I thought, you know what, let's just give everybody a taste of that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to use this couple of hours to work all 12 steps for everybody that is willing to participate. And, you know, even if you're just reflecting on the questions and you're not sharing, you're still, you know, you're still working the step to the degree that you're comfortable. So, so yeah, just like Tammy said, buckle up, because we got a lot of work to do in the next couple of hours. A couple of things that I wanted to cover before I really got into the material was to just introduce myself a little bit by saying that I've been in CODA for 12 years. I'll be 13 on the 4th of July. So I'll finally be a teenager in my recovery. Wonder how that'll work out. But I do have 21 years in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been clean a lot longer than I've been doing this work. But it certainly all helps. And I have experience with the 12 steps, you know, going back into that. And I guess just to give you a quick synopsis, I'm an abuse survivor, a lot of codependence and alcoholism and trauma in my childhood. I'll be touching on all that as we go through, but I don't really want to spend a lot of time or any time telling my story. So I grew up with alcoholism in my home, abuse in my home, sexual abuse in my home, and became a drug addict as an adult, and a love addict and a co-sex addict. And so my journey of recovery has been, pretty extensive. It's taken a lot of my time and attention and effort to be living happy, joyous, and free. And today I do live happy, joyous, and free. And, it's not a black and white thing. I'm not happy every minute. I'm not joyous every minute, and I'm not free every minute, but I'm happy, joyous, and free more than I'm not. And certainly more than I ever have been before. And even the parts of my life that are not happy, joyous, and free are not tormenting me anymore. I don't live in torment. I don't live in ongoing, continuous suffering. And that's because of CODA. That's because of the 12 steps. And because I've built a relationship with me that involves a higher parent and taking care of my inner children. And becoming an effective self-parent, not a perfect self-parent, but an effective self-parent. So that's what we're going to talk about. I want to tell you that as we're going through the slides, we're going to be doing breakout rooms. And so when you're in a breakout room, so what that looks like is we'll be doing work here in the big group. And what do we have? Like 50 people now. Okay. So we'll be doing work in the big room, and then we'll work the first few steps, and then I'll say, okay, it's time for breakout rooms so that you guys can share with each other. And we're going to do small groups so that there's enough time for everybody to get a little piece of it. And, so you won't, when you're in the breakout room, you won't be able to see the screen, and we're going to be there. You know, there's going to be lots of different screens. So what I would suggest that people do is take a picture with your phone if you could, or maybe jot down the questions. So that when, you know, as you're writing answers to, and then that way, when you're in the breakout room, you'll have those, you know, the format in front of you, the questions in front of you. But you know, everyone's allowed to manage it how they want. I just want to give you some options.
Quick question. Can you recommend how people that are calling in from a phone with no screen while driving down the road can track what you just asked for?
They're not going to be able to. I can't imagine a way that you could do that. So the way that I would segue that would be to reflect on it. And then when you have your time that comes up to share, maybe you could say, I'm going to go last. I'd like to go last. And that way you could hear the people that do maybe have the questions in front of them. Or you could just share what came up for you while you were talking about those first couple of steps, you know? So that would be kind of how I would handle that. There's no right or wrong way to do any of this. And that was a great question, Chris. Does that make sense? Any nodding heads? Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. So,
We'll have a special request to somehow make those PowerPoints and information available from our website so that you can maybe access them later.
Yeah, we're really just going to go through these steps really quickly. This is not going to be a thorough, exhaustive, you know, set of steps for us. It's more like touching it and defining, like, how can I use this for this, instead of just my codependency at large, how can I focus it on self-parenting? How can these principles behind the steps help me to focus on self-parenting and using it as a tool for that? So yeah, I think that's great. Tammy, people can go back and work more thoroughly with a co-sponsor or a sponsor or in a group or however anybody wants to do it. So that'll be great. Okay. The other thing I wanted to suggest is that people are mindful of getting triggered, and triggers happen, especially when you're poking around with all this stuff and inner child stuff and sensitive stuff and shame. So if you do get triggered, I just want to let you know to take care of yourself as best that you can. Maybe, maybe leave your group or just, you know, just pass or, you know, but a good place to start, and what I did when I sat down, is somebody's asking in the, I'm just going to answer it right now, but somebody's asking in the chat room, if I'm not really able to participate in the chat rooms, can I still, it just went away, but can I still participate? And my answer would be yes. Yeah, you can still absolutely just participate to the best of your ability, whatever your conditions are. But going back to the triggers is that, like I had to sit down and tell my little kids, if anything comes up in this that feels sensitive, we'll talk about it later. You know, let me know. I can send them off to, you know, Angel Daycare. I can ask them to go play in their room. And I can tell them that whatever work that I'm doing here is not about figuring out what you're doing wrong. I'm figuring out how to be a better self-parent. I'm figuring out how to do my job better and how to take care of you better, because the little kid often is going to hear all this and go, oh my God, I've been doing all this wrong, you know, and it's like the little kid needs to not be the one that's participating in this workshop. This is not a workshop for our inner child. This is a workshop for our self-parent. And our self-parent has to build those skills of having self-responsibility, healthy shame, right-sized, right-sized self-honesty, you know, and to have boundaries with shaming ourselves that I've been doing it wrong this all this time, you know, that every time I learn something new doesn't just turn itself right into, the shame just turns it right into, oh my God, you've been doing it wrong for 50 years. Well, am I hearing like a good way to change and a good way to do things? Or am I just hearing, you know, you've been doing it wrong for 50 years and my shame just wants to hear you've been doing it wrong for 50 years. And that's my little kid. So that's why I have to tell my little kid, like, you go play and I'm going to participate in the workshop. And so I'm telling my little kid, I'm presenting the workshop and I'm going to be sharing some stuff about my history that makes my little kid feel pretty uncomfortable. So, this is not their problem. They get to be happy, joyous and free all the time. They don't have to do grown up stuff. So just some thoughts about how you can maybe, talk to your little kids. And then, I think that was really all that I wanted to share. So when we have the questions, you're welcome to do some writing on them, answer the questions, but you also can just reflect on them instead of have to write things down, if you're not able to or don't feel like it. So, I'm ready for the next slide. Sarah's going to be controlling the slides. And so I'm going to be letting her know to flip them out. Okay. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, so step one, We admitted we were powerless over others, that our lives had become unmanageable. Next slide. Sarah, thank you. There's a few principles, you know, that are really important behind step one, but the honesty is the one that I was always taught, that the one that connects with me the most, you know, the part, the admitted part, you know, where I finally stop thinking that I'm in control of everything and I've got it. I can figure it out. And instead admitting that I'm powerless, I'm powerless over my inner child. I'm powerless over, in this situation, we're talking about self-parenting. I'm powerless over my inner child getting triggered and then being in charge of the show and being reactive and causing all these problems. And I'm, you know, because that's really not a reflection of my inner child. That's a reflection of my self-parenting. Because the child is never responsible for anything. The child is a child. It's immaturity that's coming out. It's PTSD that's coming out. It's trauma. It's learned behavior. It's the self-parent that has to take the responsibility for, you know, why am I not having a boundary with that? You know, what does my little kid need that they're not getting right now? You know, what can I do to take care of them? And so that kind of honesty. So that's what we want to take a look at right now is, do I have difficulty with any or some of the following? Taking care of my needs and wants. Like, God love you if that comes natural for you. That is not how I arrived in CODA. Setting or keeping boundaries, creating the life I want, making good choices, feeling happy and fulfilled. Do you have difficulty with any or some of those? I think normal people have put some level of effort into all of those things and have some level of difficulty. For a lot of us codependents, though, they are just overwhelming and impossible. For some of those, they just torture us for years. So we're all going to have different answers to those questions, but that's what we're here to explore, is how am I powerless over these areas of my life? And how does that difficulty make me feel? So if I have difficulty in setting or keeping boundaries, how does that make me feel about myself? How do I treat myself because of how I feel about myself? How am I talking to myself about that? And this is where we're admitting that we're not generally responding to our life with healthy self-parenting when we're in our codependence and triggered. We're generally responding with something besides good self-parenting. we're responding with codependence. And so, this is our first page with questions. If anybody wants to take a picture, go ahead, and we're going to change slides in just a second. Okay, thanks, Sarah. So step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So after that wave of, oh my God, I'm powerless, that's messy, now we want to move into hope. Because there is just nothing but hope. There is so much hope, you know, and we just laid the groundwork for having hope, you know, by getting ourselves out of the way. So for me, I always have to, on step two, I focus on the insanity, my insanity. Because I can only leave room for a power greater than myself if I get it that I am not the answer. And for so long, you know, being a neglected child, I, you know, continued to try to figure it out myself. Because, you know, we grew up parenting ourselves when we had parents that weren't available or parents that we were too afraid of to go to. And so parenting that doesn't work is insane. I've got to know that this doesn't work. Shaming, blaming, being critical, comparing. And yet those are my first reactions, you know, not so much anymore because I'm in recovery, but you know, that gut instinct, that learned behavior, that years and years and years of what the hell, Heidi, why are you doing this wrong? What is wrong with you? Why can't you, you know, that critical voice that just immediately comes in, it doesn't need permission. I didn't think about it ahead of time. It's just right there, you know, and it isn't that way anymore. I've had a lot of the restoration of sanity so that I have to get triggered really big for the insanity to come back in. And it still does. But for the most part, I have to get triggered really big for for some of that to come in. Most of the time, my first reaction can be loving and caring, and that's what we get by working the steps and having a relationship with God. But for years, I parented with self-abandonment, neglect, apathy, sabotage, ignoring things. If I don't see it, it just goes away. It's not real until it's like a volcano that's right in your face, you know. And then, oh, my favorite, controlling, perfectionism, and rigidity. You know, I'll do it right. I'll be the perfect daughter. I'll be the perfect employee. I'll be the perfect mom. I'll do everything perfect, you know, and then one thing like gets out of line and then the whole shame spiral happens. That is self-parenting. You know, shame was my self-parent most of my life. You know, that the feeling inside, that painful feeling of I'm a piece of shit, that was my self-parent. You know, you better figure it out. You better do it right. You know, so it's not like we haven't been self-parenting, guys. That's the good and bad news. We already have self-parenting down. We just aren't using healthy, loving, spiritual principles, you know. So that's all we got to do is switch it out, you know, and it sounds easy, I know, but so list the ways that you've used self-parenting that doesn't work. And I listed a few that I do. So let's switch screens. Okay. Another big insane piece for me is denying our inner child's true nature. So that's insane. Children are lazy. They try to get attention. Sometimes they feel like they need to be right. They make messes. They're testing boundaries. They get distracted. They're irresponsible. Like our inner child. And, you know, I mean, this is childlike behavior. It's immaturity. It's not bad or wrong. It's just children. It's just being a child. They avoid discomfort. They try to get away with things. They pursue what feels good. They get confused. They go through stages. These are things that often in a dysfunctional family, we were shamed for. And then the shame was our identity because we were in our nature. So I grew up self-parenting and still ridiculing and criticizing myself for my nature. It's my nature to be tired and want to lay down and do nothing. You know? So, you know, abandoning, punishing, shaming this part of ourselves, this aspect of ourselves is doing a lot of damage to us. And it doesn't work. Remember that part. It doesn't work, right? So let's, Sarah, let's go to the next slide. Children are also, so when I'm shaming and abusing and abandoning and all those things, that inner child nature, I'm also missing out on the inner child nature that's amazing, that adds to my life, that it makes me a holistic whole person. Children are often also non-judgmental or innocent. They're playful. They're curious. They're relational. That things just roll off their back. They let it go. They move on. They're fearless. They're authentic. You know, so when we're abandoning the child's true nature, we're abandoning all this. And then as adults, we feel like we're living this rigid little world of living by all the rules, and we don't feel the fulfillment and richness of life and wonder why. Because we're missing passion. We're missing, you know, the excitement of exploring new things, and caring and open-mindedness often come very natural to children. So we need to, switch to the next slide there. Okay. So I listed both of those together, and here's the question. List the ways that you've denied your inner child's nature. I qualify for all of those. There's not one of those that I haven't done or done 1,000 times. I've got to love that little kid. I can't love that if I'm denying a child's true nature. You know, the old children should be seen and not heard. Children should be always right. They should always be obedient. They should do what they're told. They should want to clean their room. That's just like the biggest horse shit I've ever heard. Children should not want to clean their room. They should learn to clean their room. And then hopefully they get to learn to want to clean their room. And if they have healthy parenting, that can happen. But it sure isn't going to happen if they're shamed every time their room's a mess. You know, that is not how that works. It doesn't work. It's insane. Okay, let's switch slides. Do you believe that your higher power can restore you to sanity in your self-parenting? So this is where it comes to in step two. Do you believe? And you know, the step says came to believe. So you may not believe today, but do you believe that you can come to believe? So let's switch slides. So step three. So made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Thank you. So these are questions for you to answer. Am I ready to let God be my higher parent and show me how to better parent myself? I don't know where to start. I don't know how to take care of this wounded little kid. I don't know how to heal trauma. I don't know how to heal PTSD. I don't know what needs that she, you know, didn't get met that now she needs to get met. And how do you do that when you're 50? You know, I need a higher parent for that. I need somebody watching my back. I need somebody guiding me. I need some help. Am I ready to surrender my ideas and expectations about how me and my life should be? Am I ready to put the whip away? Am I ready to put my expectations away? Am I ready to be uncomfortable for a while not knowing what I'm doing? Am I willing to surrender and let this be messy for a while? And it was messy for me. When I stopped using shame as my parent, my house got messier. My bills didn't get paid on time. Not that they were always paid on time, but shame was my parent. That fear of shame and that looming, oh God, I can't live with myself if I do that, was why I did the right thing a lot of the times. And so then when the shame goes away, there's just this void and this abandoned child. And, you know, I still haven't built the healthy motivation in my head to set small goals and achieve them. And I'm still in all this old sabotage and avoidance and, you know, perfectionism. And it's just like, oh my gosh. So sorry to break the news, but it gets messy and it gets worse sometimes before it gets better. The restoration to sanity is not like a linear, nice and clean little box with a ribbon on it. You know, it wasn't for me. God, I hope it is for you. But I've got to be able to surrender about what this is going to look like for this restoration to sanity to happen. And what God even really wants for me. What does even healthy parenting look like? We might have this idea in our head that healthy parenting looks like obedience and everything's always done on time and everything's always clean. You know, and homework gets done without me asking five times. I don't know that. I don't know that that's healthy self-parenting. You know? Okay, now what kind of higher parent do you need for you to be happy, joyous, and free? And that's about you giving yourself permission to ask for what you want that you don't have, that you didn't get implemented into your own self-parenting by the way you were raised, and that now you can ask for that. Okay. So we're ready for our first breakout rooms. So what we're going to do is Chris is going to break us up into groups of three. And like I said, if you end up in a room where we're going to go ahead and keep moving on. Sure, I'm unmuted. Sarah, when you get a second, can you bring us back up on the PowerPoint? Great. Okay, so we're moving on to step four. You know, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God. We're going to try to build our program and our higher power and our self-parenting. And so now our first step is to take this, you know, to look at things honestly. Let's take an honest look at what's going on. And so our step four is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And in terms of, self-parenting, I like to think of this as made a searching and fearless maturity inventory of ourselves. So if you take shame out of the equation, self-parenting is about maturity. It isn't about morality. I mean, there's still moral and spiritual principles, you know, involved, but it's really about maturity. Like I think most of us can honestly say about ourselves, like, I've always wanted to do the right thing. What's wrong? I've always cared about people. I really do. I don't want to hurt anyone. You know, I mean, it's like that little kid inside is like, I've been villainized my whole life and held responsible and accountable and, you know, for things that I never meant to do. You know, I never meant to do. I'm not like this vicious, I'm not a vicious person. It's just running around trying to figure out how I can manipulate people and use them. You know, like there's probably no villains here, you know, in our workshop. And yet we have hurt others. You know, we've gotten triggered. We've said things we didn't mean, you know, and so it's a maturity inventory is, I think, that what looking at self-parenting requires. So let's change the slide, Sarah. Thank you. So I like to think of parenting 101 as my first job as a parent or self-parent is that I've got to stop the bleeding. Then I worry about getting healthy. And then I worry about getting happy. Like my priority is always to stop the bleeding, which in our case may be bleeding, but it's probably just pain in some way. You know, living with shame is like bleeding all the time, every day, emotionally. You're bleeding all the time, every day, or you're acting in ways to not feel that pain, which is acting shameless and causing shame spiral after shame spiral after shame spiral. And, you know, we're acting out addictively. We're acting in avoidance. You know, it's like that, put it over here until the volcano happens, you know, and those cycles that we're in our patterns and characteristics of codependency are so painful. And our first job is to stop the pain. You know, we deserve to have a parent, a higher parent and a self parent that puts that first and says, hey, let's not worry about having a great exercise program or planning for our retirement or, you know, I mean, those big future fantasies that we often have, you know, that like, I think I'm going to be okay and fix my life if I figure all this out, you know, I need to heal my shame first. I need to learn how to feel okay to say no to people. I need to learn how to set boundaries. I need to learn how to be okay when other people disapprove of me. Like that is stopping the bleeding. That is stopping the pain. So whatever I think in my life that like, oh, I just got to get my life set up right. I have to go find the right guy and live in the right house and have the right hobbies and whatever, you know, those come second. I have to stop the pain first. I deserve that kind of time and attention. And that's how I self-parent is, you know, it's like I put all that on hold. We'll get to that. There'll be plenty of time for that. God will help us sort that out. Right now, I need to take care of this trigger. Right now, I'm getting triggered all the time. I'm little. I've got this fear, this looming, whatever it is, this thing I've been neglecting in my life that makes me feel overwhelmed and crazy. That's what needs my attention. So know that you acknowledge your own, that, you know, to acknowledge that you deserve whatever you need, whatever that is to stop the pain from you and from God. And so then my next job is to get healthy. So then I start taking care of my needs. What do I need? I need to take care of my physical health. I need to take care of my emotional health. I need to have love around me. I may need to find a healthy partner. I may need to end the relationship I'm in. You know, what do I need? And then my wants come next. So that's about getting happy. And I feel like in my self-parenting, my poor little kid has just been sitting there going, when does my life ever get to start?
Oh.
So here's your questions. Am I regularly in pain, emotional, physical, and or spiritual? Because that's our priority. That's where we got to start. Do I often avoid my pain by denying, ignoring, obsessing, pitying, minimizing, blaming, or otherwise neglecting it? You know, so it's about, do I have the maturity, the self-parenting maturity to pay attention to and care for those things when they happen? Or do I just put them on the shelf and pretend they're not real? Or do I just blame them on someone else so I don't have to deal with it? And it's about maturity. How well do I love and adore me and tend to my needs and wants without judgment or criticism? So now we're in the get healthy question. Am I aware of my needs and wants physically, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, and intellectually? How well do I even know me? And, you know, how sad is it that a lot of us have that story, you know, from our own wounded childhoods with parents that were neglecting or so busy in their own addictions or whatever, that like we felt like they didn't even know us. And they just projected all this stuff on us. Maybe it was good stuff. Maybe it was bad stuff. Maybe it was whatever it was, but it wasn't really us. Like they didn't really know us. And then it almost felt like anything that they did really know about us, then they would turn it around and use it as a weapon, you know? And so we a lot of times avoid the intimacy with that little child because that's what they're taught to do to protect themselves from that next attack. So let's change this slide. That is our inventory. I want to make sure everybody had a chance to take a picture of that though. Can you flip back to it just for a second? It's a lot, guys. We're not going to be able to do it in 5 minutes, but this is, you know, when I got here, I could say, am I regularly in pain, emotional, physical, or spiritual? Yes, 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 and more and more and more. Do I often avoid my pain? Yep, and yep, and yep, and yep, and yep. Do I, you know, I mean, I didn't know. I just didn't know. But, you know, you can take some time to explore these things later. Okay, thanks, Sarah. Let's go ahead and switch. So I wanted to put step 5 on here, but we're really not going to do anything directly on it because we're doing it already by sharing our steps with each other. So this one just gets done by default. Admit to God, or to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs so we can come out of our secret shame spot of you know, hiding in our secret shame hole and be validated and witnessed by others that we deserve to be the human being that we are. Let's switch sides. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And switch. Thank you. Are you ready to build a healthy, loving, and intimate relationship with your self-parent, your inner child, and your higher parents? And what defects of character does your higher parent want you to turn over? So maybe just focus on a couple things that have come to you through, you know, the last few slides. What defects of character stand between you and healthy, loving self-parenting? So anybody want to get a picture of this? We're going to move on quickly. All right, Sarah. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Okay. So now I want you to write a letter to your higher parent and ask them to show you how to be their healthy child. Tell them that you, this is just a suggestion. I'm not telling anybody how to write the letter, but these are some suggestions. Tell them that you need their help to surrender. Then ask them to help you to learn to be a loving parent to yourself and your inner child. So we're going to just take a minute and give everybody a chance to reflect on that or write about it. Course, it can't be an exhaustive, you know, I mean, this is a project that I would probably take a whole evening to do and, or an hour or so, but we're not going to take that time today. But this is where we ask. This is where we allow ourselves to be deserving of receiving.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Hi. I just wonder, are you referring to my former parents or God? Just to make sure.
Not your former parents, not your real parents, not your physical parents. No.
Okay. Okay.
You mean in the higher parent part?
The higher power parent or?
Yeah, it's your higher power parent.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tammy.
I have a question.
Sure. Actually, we're not really going to take questions. Sorry, we would get, we're just not going to be able to stay on task. What we're going to do is Q&A at the end of the workshop for about 15 or 20 or maybe even 30 minutes. So I would ask everybody to hold your questions until then, and then we can talk about them more directly and have time.
Okay.
Does that sound good? Okay. Okay.
It does. Yes. I put it in the chat as well, but I take it back then till later.
Okay. Okay. You got it. Yeah, we'll cover it. We have time for that. And I'm also going to give out my phone number, so anybody that wants to talk to me directly will have it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks for speaking up. So, okay, let's, I think that the next slide is step 8. Would you check on that? Yes. Okay. So we're going to do breakout rooms again for steps 4 through 7 and just share what has come up for you in the last few steps. And same deal. We're going to go until 2:15 for Sarah. Hey, everybody. Is Sarah back yet? Apparently so.
Yes.
There's evidence of Sarah. Okay, we're going to keep going. You guys are doing great. We're more than halfway through. And we're staying on our schedule, and that's pretty amazing. So I just wanted to acknowledge this is poking at a lot of stuff. So good job, guys. So step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And I need to change my view to, so I can see what I'm doing. Okay. Yes. Okay. So here's the assignment for step 8. Ask your inner child to write you a letter and tell you what they need and want from you as a parent, and ask them to be specific. So what we're focused on in our step 8 at this point is acknowledging how we've harmed our inner child by not self-parenting, and how they've been abandoned and neglected for many years. And while we know on some level that we're innocent, we didn't really know what we were doing or why we were doing what we were doing, and we were doing the parenting the best that we could, that doesn't change the fact that our behavior caused harm, and that we've been neglecting to pay attention to them, to tune in to what they need and want, to take care of them, to heal them, you know? And, if that's our story, that's my story. I don't want to project that that's your story, but it's a lot of our stories. So, so this is where we ask our inner child, how did I harm you? Would be another way to say it. But what we want to focus on here is, what do you need from me as your parent? And ask them to be specific. So right now, since we are short on time, this might just be like, what are a few things that I can do that are really important to you to be a better mommy or daddy to you? So we're going to just take a minute and let you guys think about that, and just leave some space for you to reflect. Someone in the chat asked for examples. My inner child would say, thanks for speaking up. My inner child would say to me, I need you to stop making me be perfect. I need you to stop comparing me to everybody else. I need you to stop scaring me in order to motivate me. I need to be safe. My inner child has said, I need to play. I need you to make it safe for me to want things. You know, I'm one of those codependents that denies my wants and needs. And it's in self-deprivation, and always this carrot out here of some fantasy I think I'm going to have someday, but you have to work hard to get there and earn it and deserve it, you know, and that rigidity and that withholding. My child deserves, and my child wants to be safe to say, I want to go to Disneyland. I want to sleep in the morning. you know, I want a birthday party. So I have to make it safe for them. So there's some examples. Thanks, Sarah. Okay, we're going to take about 30 more seconds on this slide if anybody wants to wrap up your letter or your notes about that, and also take a picture of this slide if you want. You know, another thing that my inner child really was important to her was that I stop forgetting that she exists. Because, you know, I was in CODA and reading about it and, you know, reading, you know, literature about inner children and in therapy about it and stuff, you know, and all the time it'd be like, oh yeah, inner child. Oh yeah, inner child. Oh yeah, my little girl. Where is she? When did I talk to her last? Gosh, I think it's been a few weeks now, or, you know, and, same with God. I would just forget God existed, you know, and it would be like, oh, the step. Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. God exists. Okay. I forget, you know, so it's just a habit. It's like building it into your habits, you know? And so, but what my inner child said is like, just, I don't want you to stop forgetting that I'm here. Like living like I don't matter. Let's switch slides. So step 9. So now made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So where we can make direct amends is be a better self-parent, clearly. So as your self-parent, ask your higher power to guide you as you decide how you can care for these needs and wants. Be specific. The needs and wants that your inner child just talked to you about. And so trying to make that commitment, we then write a letter to your inner child, making amends and letting them know how you will care for their needs and wants. The needs and wants that they just requested. They have needs and wants they're not going to ask you for. For sure. And we're just going to have to be the self-parent that notices that, like, oh, they're acting out. They're not going to say, stop me from acting out. Well, they might, but more than likely, they're just going to be acting out. And it's our job as a self-parent to just assess that, like, oh, they have needs that aren't being met. What could that be? And to take a look at that, talk to them about that. But these particular needs that the inner child is asking for, we're making a living amends. We're making a formal amends by saying, I'm sorry, I have fallen short. You deserve to have a parent that loves you, that acknowledges you, that takes care of you, that keeps you safe, that doesn't shame you for your mistakes, you know, that kind of conversation. And then the living amends part of it is that I do a better job to the best of my ability to keep my focus on you, to pay attention to you, to make you important to me, to bring you into my world. So we're going to take a few minutes to work on that one.
I have a question about visualizing the self-parent and the inner child.
We're not going to do questions right now. We're just going to move through the steps this way, but you can bring that to the Q&A at the end of the workshop. How's that sound?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to do that. We're going to close up about 3:30, and then does that sound right? Yeah.
Was that done in a previous workshop? Was kind of...
Yeah, we did a visualization.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I can email that to you. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So stick around and get my contact information, but we'll do, you know, we'll do Q&A after at 3:30. Thank you for speaking up.
Are we in breakout rooms right now? I just got back to the group.
Nope, we're still in the big group. We're working on writing a letter to our inner child and making amends and telling them what a yummy self-parent we're going to be. And then we're going to do step 10, and then we're going to do another breakout room.
Okay, thank you. I'll talk to myself driving down the road.
Okay, thanks for participating. Okay, we're just going to take another minute for this, and then we'll, and then everybody that needs to grab a picture can. Okay, I wanna bring it back. So I hope that people had enough time to at least get started on that letter or get some notes down about what that might look like. And in the chat, somebody had a really good point that I haven't covered yet. So I'm going to just take a minute to do that. And it's that, like, I've been working with my inner child for almost 13 years now, and it's really awkward in the beginning, and it gets better and better. And, you know, it's like you learn when you're, you know, after a while, you know, when you're triggered, you know, when you're little, you know, when you're in your child, you know, when you're in your self parent. There's visualization exercises that you can do that can help you build that, relationship. And, but it takes practice. And so this is how we practice. We, as a self parent, we walk through the awkwardness, because we love this little kid that we barely even know, that we're almost afraid to connect to, you know, and we walk through the awkwardness of that, and we stay present in the relationship, even though it feels like we're not doing a very good job. It feels like it's not very well defined. It feels like it's not in a pretty little box with a bow on it. And that's what parenting is. Parenting is showing up even when it's messy. You know, parenting is showing up and loving that little kid even when we're messy and they're messy and it's all messy and we don't know where it's going and we don't have any control, and it's hard to feel contained, and it feels like feelings are just spilling out all over the place, you know. And it might not be that way for everybody. Some people have an experience where it's just like this joyful reunion, and they get to hop, skip to the park and swing on swings together. And I hope that's how it is for you. But if it's not, don't give up on you and your kid. You know, time is what makes this better, that maturity that comes in when we put the time in. And so don't give up on it. Just keep working at it. It does get better. It gets easier. It gets second nature. I used to keep a journal every day, journaling to my little kid and letting my little kid journal to me. And now we have so much fluid conversation all the time. I don't have to have a piece of paper in front of me in order to know what she's feeling, thinking, wanting, asking for, what she's struggling with. And so that's the gift of the restoration of sanity and practice and loving her. And, you know, letting God love me and teaching me how to love her. So, okay, we're going to go on to the next slide. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And what we're going to say here is continued to take personal inventory, and when we were immature, promptly admitted it. Because this isn't about finding fault. We've been doing that our whole life and did it whatever work. Right? No. So it's time to stop with the witch hunt. What's wrong with me? Like, I just need to eliminate that from my vocabulary. What's wrong with me never works. What could I do better? Yeah, that works. So can I accept that I'm a work in progress as a child? And what I mean is as a child of my higher power, as a self-parent, and as a codependent. And what parenting principles will help me work this stuff? So for me, the parenting principles that will help me work this step is definitely patience, commitment, humility. You know, I have this habit of, like, I want to be perfect. So I create this big fantasy of perfection, and like, okay, now I understand all this. Now I'll do it all right all the time. You know, and as soon as I put that expectation out there, I'm acting shameless, like as if I could just control all these behaviors away, as if I don't have, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of practicing the wrong way. And so, you know, as soon as I put that expectation out there, I'm waiting for a shame spiral for sure. So I need to stop doing that with myself. And that means that I've got to come to this relationship and this new task for myself, this new skill, like as I'm teachable. I'm not going to do it perfect. That's okay. I need some humility. I need to be open-minded. I need to try new things, you know? And ironically, some of those things that I need are the nature of the child itself. You know, I need to be okay. Oh, that didn't work. Let's try something else, instead of, oh my God, you're such a F up. So take a second and ask yourself, what parenting principles do you think are standing between you and allowing yourself to be a work in progress in these relationships? Okay. All right, Chris, are you ready? We're going to do another breakout. This is going to be our third breakout, and we're going to do the same thing for 12 minutes. So we're going to stay in the breakout rooms until 3 o'clock. When you get there, you know, maybe you guys negotiate your time to break up the time, and then we'll meet back here at 3 o'clock.
All right. I'll kick it off.
Welcome back, everybody. And I, so we just finished up on step 10 and, you guys are doing great. We're staying on track with time. And we are working on step 11. So thank you, Sarah. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And change slides. Thank you. Of course, you know, I didn't really qualify anything. I've been using higher parent in place of higher power for a long time. And that's just my my relationship with my higher power. And that came to me in a meditation probably 5 years ago or something. And I've been using higher parent instead of higher power and higher parents. And it's just been really healing for me, to be able to think of a loving higher father and a higher mother that love each other and love me and want the best for me. And it's just such a different place than the crazy triangulation of my dysfunctional parents and their marriage and how I kept getting dragged into it. So that's what I've done to help me heal and have a different vision of who I want to be as a parent and a different vision of what parenting even is. But I certainly, you know, want to remind everybody that you have every right to decide what your higher power is to you, whether it's God, whether it's something else, whatever you choose to call it. I'm just putting some, you know, some of my stuff out there so people can, see sobriety and choose. So prayer is, you know, so this is what's important to me in self-parenting in the 11th step is really taking a look at what this step says about what my job is and what God's job is, you know, and as a codependent, I need boundaries, you know, cause I'm going to do everybody's job. That's what I always do. And unless somehow it falls short and then I'm going to blame you cause it was your job. So, you know, this is the, you know, the insanity of codependence, but so I need to have boundaries and this step has some boundaries for us. I feel like what I interpret here is that my job is to pray and meditate and be available for the relationship. And so I interpret that as my job is to ask and listen and be available for the relationship. And be available for the relationship means to negotiate, means to learn, means to listen, means to care, you know, and means to stay in conscious contact as much as I can. God's job is the will and the power. So the will is, I interpret that as figuring it all out. You know, what my little kid has been trying to do my whole life. Figure out what to do next, how my life should look, what am I supposed to be doing, what career should I have, what relationship should I have, you know, how do I get everything done at the end of the day, you know, and what, you know, what direction should I go, what car should I buy, what clothes should I wear, you know, what diet should I go on, you know, how do I do anything, you know, and so God's job is to figure all that out. And I can have some opinions about it and I can have some wants and desires about it, you know, and I can negotiate and check those out with God, but it's still like God knows what's best. My higher power and how my higher power communicates with me is always going to lead me to my highest choice. Do I have to make my highest choice every time? Hell no, I often don't. But is it in my best interest to make my highest choice? Well, the higher the choices I make, usually the more happy I am, usually the more sane my life looks, usually the more functional my life looks, you know? So it's definitely in my best interest to build that maturity in order to do God's will on a regular basis. God has God loves me so unconditionally that God's will is in my highest good. Does God know I'm not going to always make that choice? For sure. Does God love me anyway? For sure. That's my God, my relationship with God. That's the higher power that I have built. That's the higher power that I've opened my heart up to hearing and receiving. So God's job is the will, and that's the decisions, the focus, the direction, the guidance, the how to, and then there's the power. So I'm supposed to pray for the power. But the power doesn't come from me. So I pray for the power, and the power might be the motivation. The power might be the insight. The power might be the people that I need to accomplish something. The power might be the synchronicity of the universe that lines everything up so that I can have that thing or do that thing or accomplish that thing or heal that wound. The power may be, you know, the emotional resources that I need. That's still God's job. My job is to pray and meditate and be available for the relationship. And that is about being right-sized for me. And that is about not tackling the world like I got to figure it all out. Because that's a shame spiral just waiting to happen. And I've just done that to myself my whole life. So here on step 11, what I want people to do is to ask yourself some basic questions about that relationship. How often does my higher parent want to talk to me? And you can exchange higher parent for whatever works for you. And why? Why does my higher power want to talk to me? What does my higher power want to share with me? Why? What does my higher power want to do with me? And why? What does my higher power want to teach me? And why? What does my higher power want to heal in me? And why? So take a minute. But those are, you know, essay questions. We're going to just put down our first few thoughts on them and go ahead and move on. So just take a minute and maybe take a picture. Just so everyone knows, the slides for this PowerPoint will be available as a PDF on the Tucson CODA website. Also, thank you, Tammy. The website is in the chat. Okay, let's go to the next slide. You guys, we made it to step 12. Look at that. And it's 3:11. There is a God. If you guys knew my unmanageability around time management, you would understand how I just leveled up in my faith. Okay. All right. So having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other codependents and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Okay. So the focus that I had for self-parenting around this step is how are we going to carry this message to our inner child and practice this principle in our self-parenting relationship? And again, it comes down to boundaries. What's my job and what's my inner child's job? So my job is just the same as in my relationship with God. Pray, meditate, and be available for the relationship. So when I ask God and then I listen for the answer, and then I be available for my relationship with my inner child. So my source is my higher power. That's where I get my information. I get my guidance. I get the energy to do it, you know, and I get the power of the spiritual principles that bring me the ability to love this child, to love them unconditionally, to care for their needs, to walk through my triggers, to walk through my trauma. The inner child's job is to be a child. I get to love that little kid, that little part of me that is crazy, that acts out, that's got crazy motives going on, that has whatever, you know, that's like super picky and anal, or that is haphazard and just throws their pants across the room and doesn't put them in the damn hamper. I mean, whatever it is about my child that, you know, that drives me nuts, I get to let them be a child. I get to love and adore that they're a child. There's always going to be those aspects of me. When I bring God and me and my child together, like, I can't tell you guys what kind of yummy inner world that I have because of this. And I lose sight of it. I'm not saying every minute I'm like floating on air or something, but what a safe world that I have created, that God has helped me to create within myself, this bubble of safety and love and protection that surrounds my inner child. And she needs it. She deserves it. She was beat the hell up during her childhood, literally, spiritually, sexually, physically, emotionally, intellectually. I mean, every way you could be beat up, you know, by wounded parents. And I'm talking about my literal parents. And God love them, they had wounded children that were acting out and unparented. So what chance did they have of parenting me? Not a really good chance, you know? And again, I'm sure they have the defense that they did the best that they could, and I can defend them too, but it isn't about that. It's about, what do I do today? I have to be able to let my child be a child. You know, the first place you got to start with self-parenting is where you are. You know, you meet the child where they are. This is where you are, then this is where I meet you. You know, you're acting out, or you're messy, or you're distracted, or you're wherever you are, you're crying, you're a ball of tears, you've got all this resentment going on, you're playing with matches. Wherever you are, that's where I meet you. Wherever you are, I adore you. You matter to me. I appreciate you. It's my job to care for you wherever you are. And that's very often parenting that we have no concept of. And we have to kind of rebuild that from the ground up, learning that that's our higher power's vision of us. Look at the freedom that we have to make mistakes. If our higher power didn't want us to make mistakes, we wouldn't have free will. We wouldn't have choice. We wouldn't be able to, you know, act out and stuff. We'd be little robots. We're not little robots. And my little inner child is not a little robot that I need to control and make her, you know, rigidly follow all the rules and do everything right. You know, my job is to teach her why there's some things that work better than others, you know, and that there are healthy consequences. So let's go through this. These are the same questions that we just talked about. How often does my inner child want to talk to me? That's about being available for the relationship with her or him. And why does she want to? What does my inner child want to share with me and why? What does my inner child want to do with me and why? What does my inner child want to learn from me and why? And what do they need to learn from me and why? What does my inner child want to heal, want me to heal for them? Stuff way over their skill level, stuff way over their understanding. So take a minute and take a picture and So I just saw something in the chat. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. Tammy, jump in, if you don't mind.
Trying to unmute, sorry.
Okay, great, great, great. Okay, you wanna say your question? I think that was relevant.
Yeah, I was just wondering if myself, as a young parent, as a clueless parent, who might have had a lot of shortcomings with my kids. If that could be included as an inner child also, because in one of our breakout rooms, a person had more than one inner child, and they were of different ages when different things happened. And this type of thing came up for me, and I wondered if that could be a type of inner child, or if that would be a kind of a different kind of work or idea.
You mean the actual parent of your literal children that you are, is that what you're talking about? Can be perceived as a young parent that's maturing.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And for sure, like the, when we take the scale and change it from shame or right and wrong into maturity, that we give ourselves a break that like, wow, I've never done this before. And that's a really great, you know, point, Tammy, is that, you know, like I failed miserably in a lot of areas as a parent to my son who, you know, came along before Coda and is now 28 years old. And, you know, a lot of work, you know, on healing that relationship, on forgiving myself for my shortcomings, on, you know, surrendering how I didn't do it perfect. And, you know, he's going to carry some of the codependent, you know, some of this codependent tragedy into his own life. And all I can do is just love him and support him and offer to pay for therapy, which he doesn't want, which damn it, but okay. And then, you know, you want people to take good care of themselves so that it doesn't come back and shame me, you know, but the truth is I really want him to get help for himself. And if life gets unmanageable for him, then that'll be his choice, just like it was mine. But I definitely have to be gentle with the inner child that was me that was trying to raise a child. If I think that that's what Tammy was talking about. And,
yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, and again, it's about maturity, you know, like I didn't have the maturity to do it. I didn't have the emotional health to do it. I didn't have the knowledge to do it, you know, and I kept on doing what had been done to me. And I've done a better job of parenting and doing a better job of parenting my daughter, who's 15. You know, it's a lot. I mean, it's hard. She's a teenager right now. But boy, is it teaching me a lot. And I know that I deserve a break. Like there is never, ever, 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 did I mention ever, a good reason to shame myself. Like ever. Like, can you just get shaming out of your vocabulary completely? And that blew my mind before. Like, no. Okay. Well, yeah. If it was a mistake or if you didn't mean to or whatever, you know, like, okay, if it was intentional, then yeah, shame yourself. That's worth it. Or that, you know, that somehow it's justified or whatever. And then, but you know, but no, if, you know, and there's no rules about it. Like shaming never works. It's never effective. It never changes behavior. If it does change behavior, it always cycles back around again. And it creates codependence. So, it never works. The only place to start with self-parenting, any aspect of ourself, is where I am is acceptable. Where I am is acceptable. And the wanting to change it is also acceptable. And the taking responsibility for not putting enough time and attention on that area is also acceptable. Healthy shame is so important in this process. The difference between healthy shame is saying, wow, I fell short. What can I do to do a better job at that? And then toxic shame is, oh my God, I'm a piece of shit. How can I fix this right away so nobody can see it? You know, and big difference between healthy shame and toxic shame. And that's a different workshop. So thanks, Tammy, for bringing that up. I think that was important to cover. So let's go ahead and go into our last set of breakout rooms. I hope you guys had enough time to look at these questions. Welcome back, everybody. we're about ready to wrap up. I hope that everybody had enough time to get through steps 11 and 12. For some of you, I am sure maybe that this was your first time working all 12 steps. So congratulations on that. You know, we work the steps because it gives us the spiritual awakening and the freedom and so, you know, that's my hope for everybody is that you guys had an opportunity to develop a relationship with the steps and also in using those as a powerful tool in self-parenting. And, I think that one other thing that I want to say is thank you to the Tucson team. You guys did great. You guys are like so awesome to work with and made this really, really easy for me and streamlined. And it was just an honor to do service with you guys. So thank you so much. And with that, I will turn it over to the chair. Woot, woot, Tucson.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Very powerful, very personal. Thank you, Heidi, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, your questions, and your examples to get us started. Because sometimes it's really hard to get started. Mm-hmm. And thanks to all of us for doing the difficult and so valuable work that we have started. We've been given seeds, wonderful seeds of self-parenting, but they are only seeds, and we must plant and water and work and harvest them with our ongoing work, study, journaling, meetings. To every one of us, keep on stepping onward and upward. Thank you again, Heidi. You have given us a great start. Our seventh tradition states that every CODA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. And we will put the, here we go, seventh tradition. So if you're using PayPal, make sure to check the box sending money to a friend so that you don't get charged a service fee. Ready for the 12 promises. And if Polly is still here, I would have asked Polly to read the 12 promises for us. Polly, please unmute yourself.
Yes, I'm still here. I'm Polly, and this is my third visit with Zooming. The 12 promises of codependence anonymous. I can accept a miraculous change in my life by working the program of codependence anonymous. As I make an honest effort to work the 12 steps and follow the 12 traditions. Number one, I know a new sense of belonging. The feeling of emptiness and loneliness will disappear. Number two, I am no longer controlled by my fears. I overcome my fears and act with courage, integrity, and dignity. Number three, I know a new freedom. Number four, I release myself from worry, guilt, and regret about my past and present. I am aware enough that not to repeat it. I should probably blow this up a little bit. Repeat. Okay, where am I at? Okay, number five. I know a new love and acceptance of myself and others. I feel generally lovable, loving, and loved. Number six, I learned to see myself as equal to others, my new and renewed relationships as all with equal partners. Number seven, I am capable of developing and maintaining healthy and loving relationships. The need to control and manipulate others will disappear as I learn to trust those who are trustworthy. Number eight, I learned that it is possible to mend, to become more loving, intimate, and supportive. I have the choice of communicating with my family in a way which is safe for me and respectful of them. Number nine, I acknowledge that I am a unique and precious creature. 10, I no longer need to rely solely on others to provide my sense of worth. 11, I trust a guidance I receive from my higher power and come to believe in my own capabilities. Number 12, I gradually experience serenity, strength, and spiritual growth in my daily life. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Polly. Let us close this portion of the presentation, after which there'll be Q&A, with the CODA closing prayer and the serenity prayer. Please remain on mute and follow along with me. We thank our higher power for all that we have received from this meeting. As we close, may we take with us the wisdom, love, acceptance, and hope of recovery. And the serenity prayer. God, Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. See, it works if you work it, and you have to work it every day because you are worth it. Thank you. If you'd like to stay for more Q&A, you are welcome. Please raise your hand. That's in your reactions tab at the bottom of your screen, so Heidi will know to be able to call on you. Thank you, Heidi, and thank everyone for attending. Stay safe.
I see a hand.
CS, you want to unmute and ask your question? Were you recording still?
Oh, let me stop that. Yeah.